As the former substitute drama teacher and now former Prime Minister Justin Trudeau partied it up with his post-shelf date pop star girlfriend Katy Perry in Japan, he leaves in his wake a smoldering country in serious decline. Things are not looking good for the no longer Great White North, a nation with no core culture and nothing for the millions upon millions upon millions of migrants arriving to assimilate to. However, no matter the issue, proposition, or policy position, the majority of what is left of the Canadian population in the country clap like trained seals when told by their political masters that mass immigration into the country is the societal cure-all for what ails the country, and do so with the self-assured grandiloquent posturing of their own moral superiority to their American neighbors. But given that Canada, which is now mirroring much of the third world that has arrived to its shores, well, it's now caught in a Malthusian trap, having had so much inward migration, which is of course to be celebrated, that the economy has had not enough time to absorb nor catch up with this inflow, and the country has truly found the fruits of its national hubris now on display for the world to see. Elbows up, eh?
But let me ask you, Mr. Prime Minister, will there always be a Canada?
There will always be a Canada.
All right, elbows up.
Elbows up.
Back in 2022, a secret RCMP report titled Whole of Government 5-Year Trends for Canada warned that deepening economic hardship and looming recession could trigger civil unrest as Canadians, especially those under 35, grapple with plummeting living standards and unattainable goals like home ownership. The report echoes French President Emmanuel Macron's end of abundance sentiment, cautioning that social polarization and disillusionment may ignite revolt if governments fail to address these intertwined economic and environmental threats. But at least they aren't American, eh? As we move closer to the cherished milestone of transforming Canada from a vastly European diaspora nation, which a generation ago was 96% European, to one that is as brown as it is white in only 10 short years, the country that new Canadians, and it should be added that anyone touching Canadian soil is just as Canadian as one whose ancestors were pioneers in the 16th century or those who actually built the country, that the new Canadians will inherit a country very similar to those they fled. One mired in corruption, economic stagnation, social polarization, and one marked with social ecosystems built on rival and tribal in-group and out-groups. This beautiful terminus of the project that has used small and medium-sized countries like Canada, as well as Sweden, Australia, and New Zealand, to test the limits of globalization and what docile and deluded populations will accept. And to their delight, it appears no amount of demeaning degradation has been met with any meaningful pushback. In fact, Canada's thoroughly deracinated tax cattle have, at least those vocal on state-controlled media, have rejected what is an incredible offer to join the world hegemon, with all the economic benefits included, with the ridiculous mantra of elbows up, eh? Moreover, Future Lives Social Mobility in Question, a report on Canada forecasted to the year 2040, released by the Government of Canada this year, basically says that the tax cattle will indeed need to get used to their lot. In fact, they will need to get used to a lot less. In that, by 2040, Canada's once sacred promise of upward mobility has quietly expired, replaced by a national hobby of watching your kids slide down while you desperately cling to whatever rung you've got. Faith in work hard, win big is now as quaint as dial-up internet. Instead, everyone's bracing for the inevitable slip. Innovation, drive, those require the delusion that effort still pays off, and policymakers are apparently shocked, I tell you, to discover that when the ladder is greased, fewer people bother climbing. So according to the Canadian government, we can look forward to a nation of more urban foragers poaching salmon from protected streams, backyard potato empires, and a booming underground economy in unreported venison, amongst everything else. When what is left of Canadian youth finally noticed that boomers cashed out the mobility casino decades ago, the backlash could be epic. Rejection of the state's legitimacy. The intergenerational agreement has already been ripped up, so why not torch it entirely? For example, creative tax forgetfulness, meaning avoidance, and a sudden surge in Canadians who decide that the social contract was just a suggestion. All in all, the Canadian dream is alive and well. It's just been rebranded as Don't Fall Too Far, eh? But elbows up, eh? But bravo, Canada. You've done it. You've transformed a once prosperous, orderly country into a vibrant microcosm of the very global dysfunction you used to pity from afar. Canada's grand experiment in boundless compassion has delivered exactly what it promised, a nation so enriched by diversity that everyone now shares the same thrilling experience of scraping by in a cramped basement suite while lecturing the world on tolerance. But Canadians can all rest easy knowing one thing: at least they're not American. Truly, what a staggering achievement. After decades of smug moral posturing and open border virtue signaling, the former Great White North has finally engineered the perfect society, one that looks, feels, and functions exactly like the third world nations its new arrivals fled in the first place. And thus concludes the greatest Canadian success story never told, how a country voluntarily turned itself into a cautionary tale in less than a generation. The recipe was simple: open borders, endless virtue signaling, and a media class trained to shame anyone noticing the obvious. Who needs pesky things like planning or cultural continuity when you have moral superiority on your side? The serfs may be poorer, the cities more chaotic, and the future dimmer than a Winnipeg winter, but at least Canadians can forever hold their heads high knowing they're superior to those crude Americans. Elbows up, comrades, because when you fall this gracefully, you do deserve applause. But it would appear in the coming years that the United States will have to attend not only to a southern border where people are scrambling to flee their failed societies and illegally enter the country, but now, without massive course correction, it will have to deal with a second, albeit frozen, Mexico on its northern border. Any Canadian with even a singular wit would in fact welcome a change in management and welcome Anschluss with the United States. The Canadian government has shown that it is not only incompetent, but illegitimate. And I do know, personally, many that would take up Trump's offer in a heartbeat. But in the end, Canada is a master class in self-inflicted decline, served with a heaping side of smugness. Future generations will study this era in awe, how a wealthy, stable nation convinced itself that dismantling everything that made it wealthy and stable was actually compassion. Keep those elbows high, Canada bros. You'll need them to fend off reality just a little bit longer. So what do you think, eh? What do you think about Canada's situation and its inevitable decline? Leave me your thoughts in the comment section below. And if you disagree with me, also leave your thoughts in the comment section below. And with that, I'd like to say thank you for watching, and I'll see you in the next video. Bye for now.